Mississippi's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your host, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good morning and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this super Saturday, November 4th, the first Saturday of the month. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Body Armor, and of course we're across from Tropicana Field of Ferg Sports Bar in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm Mike Rickard, and usually across from me is baseball Ben Botham, but we went up to him today. It's baseball John Bacchia. Welcome to the show, my friend. You've been on several times. You haven't been down to the digs, and it's not bad down here.
No, it's an incredible setting here, right at the entrance of Ferg Sports Bar in downtown St. Pete. I mean, what could be better?
On a Saturday, you know, you've got college football. Unfortunately, we don't have a World Series game. We'd all be with bated breath. Game 7 this weekend, we don't have that. You and I will discuss that a little bit later on in the house, as we do each and every week. We've got Gavin Van Dyke and, of course, Joe Geiger. They are my Cracker Jack intern staff, doing a superb job. Boca Ciega grads and now Titans at St. Pete College. We got a jam-packed show today. They're going to break down all the high school action last night. It was the last week of the regular season. We're going to talk about volleyball playoffs. We've got the semifinals coming up, and Gavin's done a superb job of that. Bump Your Media was off the charts yesterday, gentlemen. Very proud of you. As I think it was your fifth show. Fifth show, fifth week. As they say, get your base on and start building an audience. Superb job. Let's see who else we can talk. We got our Tampa Bay Rowdy segment, of course, the godfather of soccer in the state of Florida, Jim Hart. He's got Michael Phillips, not the Michael Phillips, but this guy's got a great resume in the world of soccer. David Wilson will join him. Last week we had him down here, Wyatt Ross, the man. He's, barely a man. He's 14 years of age. He is our go-to Lightning. He's our Bolt expert now. He's been covering, believe it or not, he's been covering hockey since he was 7. He can articulate, enunciate. I fumble, stumble, and bumble, and this kid's over here rocking and rolling. So I decided, you know what? We're going to be unique. We're going to have a 14-year-old segment, and it's going to sound like he's 28, not 14. So we'll have him on about 11:50. Then in our second hour, we will shift gears. We'll talk a little baseball, John and I, at the top of the second hour. But then we've got to go high school because, as I said, Brad Richardson will join us. Shorecrest Prep, they are the Chargers. They're our first 8-player team to come down. They'll be in the house. Anthony McCall is bringing them down. And then we'll talk baseball finally, you and I, and to wind things down. We'll talk a little Oscar Garner III at the end. For our show Big Monday, it's down there at Sea Dogs Brewery. And that is going on week number 7. And Alex Reba and the big old Alex Reba, the Axeman, and the big old Oscar Garner III. They've been knocking it out of the park with that show. People love it. It's a Sea Dogs from 6 to 8. Big Monday. Take a listen on RadioSt.Pete.com and our channel now, Florida Sports Channel, FloridaSportsStreams.com. Of course, you can pick this show up on 106.1 FM and AM 1340. Those are our flagship, and then AM 1350 as well. Gentlemen, are you ready for your Body Armor High School headquarters? It is the semifinals and finals of volleyball coming up. And, of course, now district three, if I could speak, is set up in the world of football. And an exciting game last night that we'll talk about a little bit. Northeast and Largo, unbelievable outcome there.
Yeah, for sure. So we're first going to take a look at the final week of high school football. It was the last week for some teams. Some teams will be moving on. So let's take a look at a couple scores from around the Bay Area. Lakewood played Chaminade Madonna and lost 0-57. Osceola beat the Hollins Royals 43-14, which makes the Royals 0-10 on the year. Pinellas Park beat Seminole 49-34. Clearwater beat Boca Ciega 27-10. Tarpon Springs beat Indian Rocks 49-15. Calvary Christian beat Holy Trinity Prep 56-13. And the St. Pete Green Devils beat Gibbs 27-14. Palm Harbor beat Dunedin 47-0 as Clearwater Academy International lost to Venice 42-53.
Don't pick up my habits on the radio of fumbling, stumbling, and bumbling.
You put it in the air.
Articulate it. Think about your candy top 10 that you rolled out yesterday. Something enjoyable.
Absolutely. Orlando Christian Prep beat Northside Christian 35-16 as SPC beat Cambridge Christian 28-20. CCC made a perfect 10-0 season last night when they beat Cardinal Gibbons 34-14 and Eastlake beat Countryside 38-0. In our game of the week, Northeast beat Largo 17-13 on a last-second Hail Mary with 8 seconds to go to win the game 17-13.
Now, in defense of him, he's playing injured. He's got his sticks over here. He's got his crutches.
Hurt, Joe.
He rolled his ankle he's probably in pain. I'm going to give you an out there. How's that, young man?
That's good. That's
you know what, though? John, look at this real quickly. I'm 21st century now. These are youngsters, and they got it's got to make you kind of smile. They got the pen and the paper, and they've got the perforated notes.
Easier to just keep track and grab it.
You know, I love it. Bravo, guys. All right, let's get to volleyball.
Yeah, so the state championships are upon us. We had regional finals last week. I'm going to go through a couple of the games. Carowind Day beat Cardinal Mooney 3-0 as Berkeley Prep beat Calvary Christian 3-2, which set up our regional final where Carowind Day took down Berkeley Prep 3-2 in an amazing game. In 4A, in the semifinals, Academy of the Holy Names beat Robinson 3-0. And in the regional final, Academy of the Holy Names beat Estro 3-0. So they will be representing Region 3 in the 4A Final Four. In 5A, Barron Collier beat our St. Pete Green Devils 3-0, and they beat Gulf Coast 3-1. So Barron Collier is the Region 3 representative this year. In 7A, our 2021 state champion, Plant High School, beat Eastlake 3-0, our PCAC champion. And Plant beat Venice 3-1, so Plant will be representing Region 3 in the 7A Final Four.
I really thought the girls from St. Pete High, the Lady Green Devils, I thought they had a legitimate shot, but was it Plant that took them down? I think you mentioned that yesterday.
No, it was Barron Collier. So the Green Devils really had a great start to the season, but they kind of fell off towards the end, you know, losing the PCAC championship in a sweep to Eastlake. So they started off really hot. Overall, a great year for them, but I just couldn't get it done against Barron Collier in the semifinals.
Because, you know, we roll with the Green Devils down here. Jake is a graduate, and he's loud and proud of those Green Devils.
Yeah, so, Joe, take it away, Joe.
Big day in college football. All the games available down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Got over 100 televisions. Got watch parties down here. Michigan, Florida State, Auburn, Iowa. I don't know why we're getting together, the Iowa Hawkeye faithful, but I still got the ball probably sitting here on Central Avenue. Deflated, though. It's empty. All right, Joseph.
Yeah, we got some great football matches, games on today on here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We got the Florida Gators versus the Arkansas Razorbacks at noon on ESPN2. FAMU Rattlers, they play at Alabama State at 2 o'clock. USF Bulls, they go to Memphis at 3 o'clock on ESPN+. FAU takes on UAB, 3 o'clock on ESPN+. The number 4 Florida State Seminoles, they travel to Pitt at 3:30 on ABC. UCF, they're at Cincinnati at 3:30 on FS1. Miami, they travel to NC State. 8 o'clock on the ACC network. The Tampa Bay Lightning lost 4-3 to the Kraken on Monday in overtime, and then they lost 4-2 to the Blue Jackets Thursday. They play tonight against the Ottawa Senators at 7 o'clock on Bally Sports Sun. And then on Sunday, the Bucks travel to the Houston Texans for a 1 o'clock kickoff on Fox.
Hey, he's Joe Geiger. All that was brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor. And, you know, John, it kind of... It's kind of refreshing to have the young guys that want to get in the world of radio. And you're a historian, if you will. Of course, John's an accomplished author. He's an Emmy Award-winning producer for, 30 years. We don't like to show our age on this show, but we are who we are.
It's been a lot of decades.
A lot of decades. Yeah. You name it, you've met him in the world of sports in the New York market and across the country. But it's great to see youngsters approach you and they say, hey, well, I want to get in radio. And you probably went through a ton of interns during your days at this week in baseball.
Well, I did some college radio at in New Jersey, actually. I attended Seton Hall University, and I remember doing a football game in the pouring rain. And that was a...
Were you in the press box?
I was in the press box doing the play-by-play. And it was one of... I think at my third game, it was Montclair State against Seton Hall. It was a pouring rainstorm. And back in those days, no turf field, so you couldn't... All the line markers got washed away,
and all the numbers at mud.
It was really a humbling experience, let me put it that way. So what these guys are doing is incredible, actually. It's a great opportunity.
Well, it's tough to make the call, too, when you can't tell the numbers.
You just kind of had to guesstimate everything, it was not easy, believe me.
So we're going to, it's amazing when you're doing live radio. Everybody comes by and they want to participate. That's the beauty of being down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Maybe you wanted an interview. Real quickly, before we go to soccer, of all the sports, I know your passion is baseball, but what was your number two, and to this day, your number two sport that you like to follow?
Well, I do like college basketball. College basketball.
So do I.
It's a lot of fun. It's the landscape of that game has changed a lot lately, but I do like, all of that stuff. It's great.
Hey, we got Tritons in the house. They'll be on at about 11:35. Talk a little basketball. Of course, that's our Eckerd College. But right now, let's get to our Tampa Bay Rowdies weekly segment. And the godfather himself, Jim Hart, on the call. Hey, Jim.
What's happening, Mike? How you doing today?
It's another beautiful day down here at St. Pete. And looking forward to conversation with, I love doing the intro, Michael Phillips. And then you have to get people realizing we're not going to be talking the world of Olympic swimming, but he's got a resume that's very impressive.
Yes, we're real lucky to have Mike with us. David and I are excited to talk with Mike because Mike has made the Low-Tech Capital Champions League a reality and has made it into what it is today. So, is David with us on the call?
David's with us, too. Good morning, Mr. Wilson.
Good morning. Glad to be here this morning.
Well, one of these days, I'm going to get you guys out of your recliners and get you down here to Ferg so we can meet in person. I've already seen the handsome Jim Hart on numerous times, the towering figure that he is.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to be down there. But today, Mike, we are super lucky. Mike, you spent a lot of time in promoting prep, the peewees to the preps to the pros, and promoting sports. And the one thing you hope is that the thing that you're doing is being taken on board by the people you're doing it for. And when your coaches like David and I, you just hope that your players are listening to you when you're telling them whatever it is you're telling them. And you hope that they do something with it. And the guy that we're on with today is Michael Phillips. He was a player on our team at Clearwater Central Catholic High School in 94 through 97, but two-time state champion 96-97, went on to a fabulous career and has now started this company called Lokai Capital Investments. And he's come back and he's given David and I the support of being the main sponsor of the Lokai Capital Champions League. So we want to welcome Mike on to the show today. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. Can you all hear me? Good morning.
We can hear you great. We can hear you great. So, Michael, could you tell folks before we get started, tell us a little bit about Lokai Capital, your company, and what you guys do, and give us a little background of who you are and your company.
Sure. Sorry, some background noise. Lokai Capital is a investment firm headquartered here in Tampa Bay that focuses on buying and building real estate assets, commercial real estate assets. So we work in all different asset classes, meaning we do hotels and shopping centers, and office buildings and apartment buildings, all different types of stuff. And we put capital towards improving or building those from the ground up. And we have a focus on the Southeast, but a special focus on Florida. And then Tampa is our backyard, so we do a lot here.
Well, that's fantastic. David?
Yeah, I mean, there's very few people. We hear all this stuff about, you know, the legend and the godfather, Jim Hart, but we actually have someone that actually played for him. Michael, you came in as a freshman, I believe, from the story that I remember, as a freshman to play there. The team may not have been the best team you had, but take me back a little bit about what it was like to play for Jim Hart.
Ah, grueling.
I like to hear that. Give me a little more insight, would you, Michael? Next time I see him, I got to have some ammo.
Yeah, no doubt. So we joined. I was one of seven freshmen that made the varsity soccer team in 1994, which was a very unusual and surprising event. CCC had gone from winning many state championships and playing in state championship games, and had a rebuilding year, kind of starting with the year we came in. I actually started high school at 4'11", so I think my only value on the field was drawing fouls. but you know, Jim, Coach Hart did an excellent job pushing us well beyond what we thought we were capable of. With, you know, did obviously lots of running drills, creating a team that people who were just much smaller than most of the kids we were playing against, because being heavily in freshmen, that could stand up and stop the scoring barrage that the year started with. So we went from losing almost every game, getting blown out, to tying a number of games or losing small amounts, and then by junior year, we had hit puberty and were more effective on the field and turned into a pretty dominant team.
So Michael, why is it that Lo-Chi Capital wants to support the Champions League?
Yeah, I grew up playing club soccer. I'm one of four kids. All of the kids in my family also played soccer, club soccer, different sports, played baseball, and I wrestled, played football, things like that as well. And the most rewarding experience I had, and also my siblings had, and their teams that they played for the years, was their school teams. You spend so much time with your kids, your friends from school, you build relationships with them, and we really have noticed the kind of the dominance since I was a kid of club sports over school sports. And I think it's kind of sad. I think it's a much better, richer experience to play for your school, to represent the your group of people that you're with every day, your teachers, your classmates. And it's fun when they come out to the games. And so there's a value to that we really respect and wanted to support. And then we think that there's also extra value. I mean, I just told you the story of being a kid as a freshman and then playing against larger kids and eventually becoming a big kid. I mean, in some ways, there's a better life story in school sports where you're playing against people that have a broader range of skills and ability and size that is maybe more representative of what the real world of business and life is like. So we think it's good for kids to learn these skills and have these experiences.
David.
Yeah, Mike, the one thing I'm listening to you and I was thinking in my mind is I believe that there are great coaches out there. I don't always believe the great coaches are great at their sport, you know. So you may be a great soccer technician or whatever else, but being able to coach kids means that great coach can coach any sport because they're just coaching kids, not coaching the sport. I really look at what you're doing with Lo-Chi Capital as, all right, you're not coaching kids, but you have your business and still are able to go outside that and do so much for so many kids that you may not realize what you're doing for these kids, but we realize, Jim and I, that you have made a difference in so many kids' lives by being involved with us and being supportive of us and being our major sponsor for us, that I think that some of the stuff that Jim has taught you growing up or even as a player has moved on to what you do now as a career and as a professional. And I think that is something that very few people can do. So I'm giving Jim a lot, probably maybe more credit than I usually do. But I'm really impressed with what you've done for our community, and I really appreciate that.
Hey, I got to ask Mike. I got to put my friend Jim Hart on the carpet again. Are you walking this morning?
No. I'm just with you guys.
Oh, it sounds like somebody's walking in the background, pacing away, which I'm kind of jealous because I didn't get any steps in today. But I digress and interrupted a good conversation. Continue, fellas.
Now, David,
I think almost every phone call I have with Coach Hart, he's walking.
Yeah, he is. Thank you, Mike, for having my back, because the guy's constant motion, talking soccer, promoting high school soccer, relationship with the Rowdies, which we're blessed to have. So I just have to check on him from time to time. We did earlier when we started this segment, I caught him hitchhiking on the side of, I think it was US 19, because it sounded like he was going to get mowed over any moment. And here we are doing this segment, but he was just out front of his yard, apparently.
No, I'm good, Mike. I got my chair when it's time to come and to talk with you guys. You've taught me a lesson on that. You know, you got to take these rookies to the radio business, and you got to show them what to do. And that's your role, Mike. And I appreciate it.
If I'm responsible for mentoring anyone, we're in trouble, fellas. But we do have a great time doing this each and every week and bringing people to the forefront. It's amazing how many people's lives Jim Hart has touched, Michael, that are titans in business, coaches, teachers. I get amazed, and I'm very, very impressed and honored that we're able to work with a guy like that. But that's, as you talked about, touching lives, and the godfather of the area, as far as I'm concerned, has certainly done that.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about Coach Hart, aside from just tactics and getting you in shape and all the typical soccer stuff, is he always focuses on creating a sense of purpose, like a greater set of principles and purpose to kind of build your team around and focus your goals. And that's just a great way to create a mindset in both life and business. And so I certainly think we took that, everyone I know that played for him and have applied it to life. At least for my team, there's four or five companies out there that have been started from kids on that team, and they're all successful. I was having coffee with somebody just the other day that said there must have been something in the water at CCC those years. How did all these people come out there and start these companies?
Well, CCC just went undefeated in the regular football season, so it reaches across all sports in that building. Very impressive school and program, I guess, is the term you use for schools that are that successful. They've built programs. They've got a base. They've got a passionate alumni base that has emotional equity, regardless of the sport or what they've done. That's the beauty of schools like that.
So, Michael, can you give us a story, a little reminder from your playing days at CCC? Is there anything that stands out from your time at CCC?
Yeah, there's a lot. There were 4 years with you, and each one of those years was pretty different than the previous year, as we went from being overwhelmed in every game to kind of being on the opposite side of that gradual transition. But maybe the biggest turning point was in a state championship game against Jesuit High School, who's a local rival. My dad and my brother went to Jesuit. My grandfather went to Jesuit. So even in my house, it was an awkward thing to be playing against them. in the state championship and just wanted to win. And they had Jesuit is also an amazing program for sports. My co-founder here at Loci played quarterback for Jesuit and then went to play quarterback at University of Pennsylvania. So it's even inside of our company here, we have a little bit of a rivalry with them. But Jesuit beat us our junior year a couple of times, and they love to rub our nose in it.
Yes.
And they go running around the field in these over celebrations and slide in front of the bench and really rub it in. And
yes,
we had this unusual and kind of amazing moment in the state championship game where we came into the locker room, and the locker rooms were adjacent to each other, and they had a thin wall, so we could hear them talking, and we got silent and just listened to them talk about how bad we sucked. These players, you know, they were making fun of some particular players in the team, you know, talking about their skill level or various things. It was just right out of a movie. Like, you know, hey, how can we get these people to be as angry and as upset and as motivated as possible to play like they never played before? And, the thing of you don't go out and talk trash about the team you're going to play because it becomes a locker room fodder. It was right there for us. And we came out and we won. It was the third game we played that year. And against Jesuit, that is. We lost the first two. They rubbed our faces in it, and then we just returned it right back to them. And then we still know guys on that team, and we love bringing it up, you know, 20-something years later.
Well, you know, I love those type of stories because they're generational. We had the same thing. I went to a private school in the Midwest, Catholic school, and we had our arch rival comparable. I do a lot with the Jesuit Tigers as well. But I love stories like that, and decades later, people are still reliving them. Gentlemen, yeah. I've enjoyed this immensely. I look forward to meeting you someday, Michael. David, I got to meet you as well. And yeah. We need to schedule a time down here at Ferg's and, again, get me educated more on the great world of soccer. So far, you guys have done a great job. As I said, Soccer for Dummies is upstairs in my office, and you guys have helped me a lot as I delve into a sport that I actually have a lot of passion for now. I'm really getting into it, and I had some other guys trying to get me into rugby now. I said, one sport at a time, boys. I said, I'm just trying to get my arms around soccer. I don't need rugby, too. Well, everybody have a great weekend. Once again, I want to thank you for joining us in our Rowdies conversation, whether it's Pee-wee's, the Preps, the Pros. Jim Hart's got his finger on it. Thanks, David. Have a great weekend. And again, nice to meet you over the radio waves, Michael.
Thank you, Mike. Pleasure.
You betcha. All right, now let's shift gears. It's time to talk hoops. It's Triton time, man. And we're very fortunate to have the relationship with Tom Ryan and his staff. And typically, when you're sitting across from one of the coaches, they're an alum. And we got the same thing this time. And he's been on before. I love watching you guys play ball over there. Last year, I caught a lot of your games. But now that I'm meeting you two, I was going because I had two interns on the girls' team.
Gotcha.
And I had Nicole Scales. Yeah. You met Nicole. Yeah. And now I have. Do we got you hooked up there?
I don't know. Usually they don't. Look
there you go.
Okay, good. I'm on.
You're good to go now. Yeah.
So
I had Nicole Scales. So I went to a handful of her games and I stuck around and watched your games. I tell you what, that Sunshine State Conference is loaded. And you know that. You played there. And I didn't realize that coming from Midwest. Both my boys played D2 sports. But it's the SEC, if you will, of Division II sports, especially sports that you guys focus on.
You got it. The toughest Division II league in the country. I mean, high-caliber basketball, high-caliber sports across the landscape of athletics within our league.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. This is year number five for you?
It is.
Year number five. So first of all, tell the audience that I haven't listened to you.
Sure.
Your bio, and then How you got to Eckerd in the first place?
Sure. My name is Brian Gillespie. I'm currently the head coach at Eckerd College. I'm an alum. I came to Eckerd in 94, all the way from upstate New York. Coach Ryan, who you just mentioned earlier, was the assistant coach at the time. He's the one who recruited me. So played 4 years at Eckerd. Then I was fortunate to be on Coach Ryan's staff for 7 years as an assistant coach. And then in 05, I left, spent 15 years in Greensboro, at Greensboro College. And then when Coach Ryan took the deal to just be a full-time AD, I was fortunate to come back in 19 as the head coach. So really fortunate to be the next basketball coach at Eckerd. It's great to be back and walking the sidelines. I look up to two individuals who did that, and Coach Arley and Coach Ryan.
Hey, when you came back from Greensboro, of course, they, as far as they're concerned, it's the Mecca of basketball in North Carolina, and rightfully so. There's so many incredible programs, whether you're going all the way down to Division II, up to D1. You gathered a lot there that's helped you now with this. And also, it kept a recruiting pipeline to that area, didn't it?
It does. And, recruiting's so vital, obviously, in the success of your program and wherever you land. I mean, coaching, takes you many different places. But we still get back up into the Mid-Atlantic region and the Carolinas and in upstate New York and the Northeast. And we try to recruit heavily here in the state of Florida as well.
I hope that you go up in that area when the temperatures are like 25-30 and say, you want to see some pictures of our campus?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, that's a no-brainer.
No doubt.
I'm sure both these gentlemen, once they saw the campus, it was, one and done.
That's it.
I had some girls on from the soccer team. One girl was from Canada, and she made a visit. I said, I guarantee your call, this was just a couple weeks ago, was to your parents, I'm not coming back, ship my stuff, because I'm never coming back to Canada in those temps. So you have a built-in pipeline of relationships, and then of course the world of, I wanted to ask you this before we move on, the world of the portal these days. Mm-hmm. Have you got involved in that at all? Is it impacted Eckerd in any stretch?
Not really. We obviously, there's different philosophies. We recruit kids that want to be at Eckerd. So whether it's high school, whether it's junior college, or whether it's portal, I would say there's reasons why kids are in the transfer portal. So
Higher education too, higher level of expectations academically.
No doubt. And if it's not academic related, it's just, what was their disgruntledness? There's a reason they're there. So we try to really hit hard when we recruit kids. These guys to my left will share. We try to develop an excellent relationship and tell them all about Eckerd, tell them all about our staff, our program. And we want kids to, when they come, to stay. And to graduate as a Triton, not to go into transfer portal. But I know the landscape of basketball is different these days. But I'm sure there's days that these guys don't always like me, so they may think of the transfer portal. But I hope not.
It's like parenting.
That's right.
There's times when you don't care for your parents, but you love them.
That's right.
You want to tell them to go to hell, but you're still going to work hard for them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well. So you brought a couple of juniors down. What's this team in 23-24 look like from a from freshman to senior perspective as far as the percentage?
Sure. Well, we have some good experience. I would say we're upperclassmen dominated, but we got guys that KG's going on his fourth year, Tartiem's going on his third year, second year. I get ahead of myself. No, I want him to come back for his third year.
He's coming back.
I hope so.
Because you guys get that COVID year, don't you?
We do. We're kind of turning out of it here after next year. But
the only problem with that is if they have all their academics done, we don't have a graduate school over Eckerd, right?
We don't, but there's something called double majoring, so we can encourage
creative coaching.
We can get a double major.
Creative coaching.
Yes, sir. We're really excited about this year. We're excited about our group. The culture is dominating in the locker room. Yet we're better. We have guys that have experience. We have newcomers that I think can add value to what we currently have. So, and these guys to my left are phenomenal, great leaders. you know, they really, really propel teammates to do excellence, you know, every single day.
Well, to get up on a Saturday morning early for you shows me some display of commitment to the program. Now you can just blame it on the old man. Blame it on me. Say, yeah, this old dude has come down to a sports bar on a Saturday morning. We were crashing, resting up. We only got a week until our first game. Yeah, practice today, too?
No, we're off. Saturdays are off day.
But oh, tomorrow, so you had to come down on your off day.
That's it. Tomorrow we
I love
go.
You guys.
That's it.
You come down on your off day, too.
And they're all smiles, you can tell. Look,
yeah, yeah. Again, smiling because they know we don't have a whole lot of time left in this segment. So let's go to KG. It's Kent Girard Jr., right?
No, my dad goes by Kent, but I'm not.
But you're not. Gotcha. Okay. I'm just going. You make sure that you let Amanda know that that's not accurate. I love Amanda. All right, young man. So where are you from originally?
I'm from Kingsland, Georgia.
Are you a Bulldogs fan too?
I am.
My God, I'm surrounded by them. I'm with you. I'm surrounded by dogs everywhere I turn in my business world. I don't know if they're bandwagon riders, but at least you grew up there.
Right.
So let's talk about your path to get to Eckerd College.
Okay, I just high school ball in Camden County, Georgia. I played just for a local AU team back home my first few years of high school. And then my last year of high school, I actually played for a team in Tampa. Tampa Bay Hawks. Connected with Gillespie. He came to my first two games in Jacksonville my senior year, and been locked in ever since.
Yeah, it's not too tough to love a college that has a beach on it.
Right.
Unbelievable.
And I wasn't able to take my visit in person because I was recruited during COVID. So everything I seen was pictures online, and it still convinced me.
Well, they didn't disappoint when you got here. It wasn't like they fabricated and went to some other campus and took pictures. Uh-huh. I live over on Sunset Beach. I've always warned all the kids that come down here, say, you know what? My beach gets busy. I'm going to grab my lawn chair, my paper someday, my hat. Uh-huh. Come on down there and sit on your beach. And I'll be like, who's this old creeper? Oh, no, no, no. I'm a benefactor. I'm just sitting down here because that is really cool, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, like I said, I coming from the Northeast, you know, we talk about we didn't have to convince him to come to campus. Obviously, he couldn't during COVID, but you just see the pictures and you're like, are they for real? So it's the nicest campus in
America.
You got.
I'm serious. In America. So let's talk about your favorite memory so far for you personally as a Triton. Now, this is on the court. I don't need to hear any of your
not Friday and Saturday night.
You're fraternizing off the court.
I'll just say my favorite memory was it resulted in a loss, but towards the end of the year, senior year last year, playing against the number one team in the conference, Nova Southeastern. Just the way me and the guys fought that game, man. I thought we were going to come away with it.
Was that here?
I was here.
I was at that game.
Yes.
And that school is about 20,000, isn't it? Nova?
I don't know if it's that large, but they have some satellite campuses. I'm not sure how much they're.
I looked online because.
It may be.
Because that trader, Nicole Scales, is going to play there this year.
That's correct.
And I've been pimping her. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You're going to play for the enemy now that I become an Eckerd Triton?
I know.
Yeah, and she no, my heart's always going to be with them. But yeah, that was a heck of a game. Yeah, you guys battled that game. Yeah, I was there. Is that your favorite memory? Anybody at home you want to do a shout out to?
Just my family. Hope you guys are good back home, staying safe.
Throw some names out there. I'm going to text Coach.
My mother, Tamika Smith. My father, Kent Girard. Oh, Walter Girard.
Yep.
And my siblings. I love you guys.
How many siblings you have?
I have seven siblings.
Wow.
I have seven siblings.
I have six boys and one daughter in my world, and I thought that was a lot.
That is my dad's exact setup, but my mom also has one of her own. So
there you go. Well, you got a lot of people to come to your funeral in 100 years.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm looking forward to following you guys. Hey, what's your favorite NBA team? Speaking of NBA, you guys are starting a week from today, and now the NBA is already rolling. It just seems like earlier and earlier every year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for both LA teams. My favorite player is Clipper, Paul George.
Clippers and Lakers.
Yep. I have to say so. LeBron James.
What about your Atlanta Hawks? Have some home pride.
Mm-hmm. I'm not from Atlanta, bro. Oh, it's a difference.
Gotcha. Gotcha. He's clarifying that.
Right.
You're in Florida. How about the Heat? Maybe the Magic? Mm-hmm. Nope, L.A.
L.A.
L.A. all the way.
With Paul George, man.
Yeah.
And LeBron James, obviously.
Clippers just picked up the beard.
Of all time in my eyes.
The Clippers just picked up the beard. I don't know how that's going to work.
There's not enough
balls to go around with that group of guys.
Right.
No, there's not. Well, I thank you very much for coming down, my friend.
I appreciate you.
Now, another junior. Yes, and sir.
He keeps saying junior.
Junior, yeah.
Okay. All right, that's good.
Karcham.
Karcham.
Chom.
Gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Where are you from, young man?
I'm from Tampa, Florida, right here.
Where'd you go to high school?
Oregon High School.
Oh, yeah. We had a media basketball day 2 weeks ago for a Sun Bash tournament. Did you ever play in one of the Sun Bash tournaments?
No, I didn't get a chance to play in it. Things got famous when I graduated.
Gotcha. Yeah. So now that's become quite the deal.
Yeah.
And we had your team come over, Blake came across. Yeah. We have three or four teams from Hillsborough County come over. And we had a great time. So some local flavor, Coach.
Yeah, we do. We have several local guys.
That adds to butts in the seats, too, because you probably got friends and family that come, right?
Yep. It's easier for family to come and friends.
All right. So I forgot to ask, what position you play?
The four man.
Four man? How about you?
I'm a wing.
You have a wing?
Yes, sir.
And you're a junior.
I'm a junior.
You've been at Eckerd since you graduated from high school?
Nah, see.
Your path to get there.
Yeah, my path was a little longer to get to Eckerd. So after graduating high school, I went junior college route, Mississippi Gulf Coast. So I went over there, and I was fortunate to get a scholarship to come to Eckerd. And like everyone said, you can't deny school, you know.
When you saw it, you'll probably be one of their great recruiting tools now in the local area.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them, you know, forget about UT, St. Leo's, Eckerd's the place to go.
Nah. Nobody's going over there.
Yeah, we don't think too much of those guys.
Hey, I tell you what, I had the soccer team on? I had the volleyball soccer team on, and they beat UT this year.
Okay.
And I've never seen a happier group of girls.
Oh, our women.
Yeah, your women.
Yeah, it was a big win. Big win, yes.
Big ones.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. My God, they were ecstatic. That's all I talked about. So this your first year then at Eckerd?
No, this is my second year.
Your second year.
Yes, sir.
So what's your favorite memory?
My favorite memory will also be that, but I like, I think it was like alumni night. One of our teammates hit a game winner. That was a good memory.
Yeah.
Who was that against?
Palm Beach Atlantic at home. That was one of the good memories, you know.
You guys have a heck of a conference.
Yeah.
Tough.
Oh, yeah.
Really tough.
Every night you got to bring it.
Well, how deep are you going this year, your rotation?
I'd say we're probably going to go 8 or 9.
You're blessed.
Yeah, well, I think we're much, much more talented. We're excited. I think the guys are excited. They're gelling really well. And it's just a hard league. It's been a tough last couple of years. These guys, KG can contest, and so can Carr last year. I mean, we're not far away, and I think this year we're finally turning the corner. We have some, you know, really good pieces. We're kind of backed up at every position, point guard, wings, big guys. So, we should be fun to watch.
You got some fouls to give. You want to do a shout out to anybody across the bay there?
Shout out to my little brother, you know.
What's his name?
Serene.
Does he look up to you?
Yeah, he looks up to me, man. He wants to be just like me.
Well, be a role model.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of being a big brother, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm a role model. I'm a big brother to my brother. I don't know if I'm a role model, but we still talk after, you know, 67 years. Yeah. But your favorite NBA team?
The Suns.
Kevin Durant. Suns.
Yep.
Why don't you guys just both move to the West Coast?
Nah.
They may.
Yeah. What's your favorite team?
The Boston Celtics.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. You're Lakers. I can go live with the Lakers and the Clippers. I can live with the Suns. The Boston Celtics.
Come on.
Please.
No, really?
I'm Catholic. I own a share of your stock. My mom got it for me years and years
ago. Is that right?
But I am a diehard Chicago Bulls fan. Okay. Not because of Michael Jordan. All my sons were on that bandwagon. I said, I'm old. I go back in the 60s and 70s. Chet Walker. I mean, I could go on and on.
Well, I was, you know, back in the day. Yeah, Danny Ainge, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale.
You're from Robert New York, Payne. Man.
I know. My dad was a Celtics guy. I just – oh, listen, you want me to be a Knicks fan? Come on. I know I'm from New York, but
yeah,
come on.
Hey, I'm looking forward to coming to you guys' games. You got a fan here?
Yeah. That's the AD at Shorecrest, Anthony McCall.
Oh, well, Shorecrest is in the house today. It. Beautiful. That's Anthony McCall right there.
That's right.
Anthony McCall and Shorecrest will be on next.
That's right.
It's a small world. All right. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you taking time, especially your last Saturday to sleep in.
They're fine.
And come down. At the end of the year, I want to put a little deal together upstairs for you and the guys.
Fantastic.
We'll have some fun.
Absolutely.
We've got golf simulators up there.
Sure.
Either one of you ever golf?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have a long drive contest.
There you go.
We'll have something like that.
They'll hit it.
How's that sound?
Great. Awesome. Thanks for having us on.
All right. Thank you very much for coming down.
Thank you.
Good luck. I'll get out to some games this year. I've got Hannah Wentworth, who's injured, but she's one of my assistants this year. So.
Perfect.
She's the New Zealander that brought me a rugby hat. I don't know anything about rugby.
Got it.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Thanks very much.
Appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Go Tritons.
Hey, exactly. Triton time every Saturday, my man.
That's it. All right.
Hey, let's shift gears. Let's talk bolts. We got our new talent, Wyatt Ross. He's on hold, and he's going to be on weekly giving us an update on what happened this week in Tampa Bay Lightning sports, hockey. And, young man, it was great to meet you last week. I'm looking forward to your weekly report. Let's let our audience enjoy it. We just had Paul Porter on, but now it's your time to shine.
Well, thank you for the introduction. I definitely appreciate that. But let's just get right into it. So last week, we had two big shutout wins at home. And the Lightning welcomed the Kraken in the barn Monday night. Brian Dumoulin kicked off scoring with a rebound goal 12 minutes into the first. And just a minute later, former Tampa Bay Lightning Yanni Gourde found the back of the net, setting up the Kraken with a 2-0 lead. Not even a minute after that, though, the Lightning responded quick with the goal flipped right into the net from Tanner Jeannot. Then 2 minutes later on the power play, Kaylor Yamamoto puts the Kraken up 3-1. And the second period on a power play on their own, Alex Barré-Boulet gets his third of the season, making it a 3-2 game. And with 5 minutes remaining, Brandon Hagel throws it at the net, and somehow, someway, puck goes in. However, in overtime, McCann, from the point, gives the Kraken the win 4-3. So Johansson had 39 saves and .907 save percentage that game. And on Thursday night, the Lightning had to go over to Columbus, hoping to rebound. But Kirill Marchenko found the back of the net first for Columbus. But just in the second, on a 2-on-1, Stamkos tries to pass it over to Nick Paul, hits the defenseman's skates, and goes in, making it a 1-1 game. 2 minutes later, Connor Sherry tips in a pass from Stammer to put the Bolts in front. But in the third, Werenski shoots from the point, and a tip from Boone Jenner ties the game up. 3 minutes later, rookie Adam Fantilli gets it to Eric Goodbranson, who puts the Jackets on top for the 3-2 lead. With 2 minutes remaining, the Lightning empty their net to try and tie the game up, but Johnny Gaudreau gets his first of the season, making the Lightning's week 0-1-1.
What? You've done your homework, my man.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the goalie that of course has replaced arguably the greatest goalie we've had in Lightning history?
I don't think there's anything arguably about it. Vasilevskiy is definitely up there, but man, Jonas Johansson's having a hot start. Recently, he just won Player of the Month. He has a .922 save percentage on the year, and he's been playing outstanding. 3-0, 6-0 wins right before these two games. If we didn't have him in net, we probably wouldn't even be over .500. He's been awesome.
Speaking of awesome, your reporting's awesome. How is now listen, folks. This young man is 14 years old. How's your high school hockey team shaping up this year?
This year we are doing awesome. We had a bye day Friday, We're going to play Sunday right now. We're 8-1-1. I think we're third in the league. But, yeah, Cypress Creek hockey's on the rise.
So that Cypress Creek hockey, you're going to get them down here in person sometime in November, hopefully, and we'll meet the coach and some of your teammates. You have a great weekend. I look forward to these reports, and we'll talk about getting a podcast on Florida Sports Streams, you and I and your pops here next week. How's that sound?
Well, that sounds awesome. Thank you so much for the time and the opportunity.
All right. Well, you're the man, young man. I appreciate you doing your homework, and I still got to get you lined up with Paul Porter so he can school you and introduce you to some people in the world of the Lightning. Have a great weekend. Tell your pops hi.
You as well.
All right. John Bakia, that kind of cool to hear that young man have that much preparation and
boy, that was impressive.
Preparation and passion.
He was buttoned down for a 14-year-old.
Hey, he's been doing. Here's the funny thing: he's been doing it for 7 years. He's a veteran. Hell, I haven't been doing radio in this market for 7 years. He is a veteran, very impressive, and just a respectful young guy.
Well, you've seen the movie The Natural. I guess he would qualify as a natural, right?
I would say so. Hey, we got a few minutes. We were talking about radio and baseball, and you had a factoid that I thought was quite interesting, being this is 2023. Share that with the audience.
Well, you know, this was 100 years since the very first World Series game was broadcast, or at least Graham McNamee way back in 1923. Hard to believe, but and then a couple years before that, 1921, they sort of did it as a promotion. They didn't know what they were doing, but Mike, back then, you had a guy at the game, and he was communicating back to a guy in the studio. You couldn't have
that
the guy.
Was what the big story about Ronald Reagan, if you remember.
Sure.
On WHO radio in Des Moines, Iowa, 10:40. Is he called? I don't know which game it was. I think maybe Notre Dame. I think it was
Notre Dame football. Maybe
Notre Dame football. Oh, Chicago Cubs game, and he was in Des Moines, and they were calling it in. So that's how it was done then, huh?
Can you imagine? Like you'd be looking at your teletype and getting a little signal. Okay, the ground ball to second base, and you kind of have to fill it in, right? Like you didn't have all the details.
Talk about guys that had to paint the picture and get creative. During that period.
Well, in 1921, actually the station was in Newark, New Jersey, WJZ, and the broadcaster was more of a engineer. He's actually more of a technician, and he did this whole thing, and he was the first guy to do it. And at the end of the game, he was so exhausted, they asked him, "Well, who won the game?" He didn't report that. He didn't know.
Well, you would be exhausted. I've done events where I've been on the air 4 or 5 hours, and it's conversationally. It's not having to stay on top of things or reading a ticker tape. You do get spent, and people don't believe that. You know, I'll go home, and the girlfriend will say, I said, I'm shot. You're shot? Look what you do for a living. You talk.
Well, what people don't see is the preparation that goes into a broadcast. I mean, I've known broadcasters who spend literally days preparing for one game. So...
I spent days preparing for 2 hours here and then 2 hours with the golf show. And, we're just small little chump change production. But the reality is you do have to be prepared.
Oh, you do. Yeah, you can't just walk. If people have the impression. I mean, the fact that you can actually come on and do it as smoothly as you do is all based on the preparation that you did a few days ago.
Yeah, and this is a variety show. So as you see, I got people coming and going. But it's an absolute blast. I appreciate you coming down. We're going to have a little high school conversation here. And then you and I are going to talk a lot of baseball in the last half hour. Is that cool?
That sounds great.
All right. We're going to go to the top of the hour now. We'll be back. And we've got Shortcrest Prep in the house. The
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.